Maybe it's Kayla. It can't be. I don't know. Anyway, go to Psalm 23. You'll know what we're talking about in a minute, okay? It's a prayer request. I'm trying to get it figured out in my mind. We're going to go back to Psalm 23. We're going to look at verse 4 tonight. Verse 4 says this, ironic with all the funerals we've had this past week or so. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, it's kind of ironic. When a baby is born, the baby cries, and everybody standing around him is rejoicing. If that child trusts Christ as his Savior and lives for God all of his life, everybody rejoices. But when it comes to dying, the child rejoices, but everybody then standing by, they're all crying. It all kind of flips from the time they're born to the time we die. Verse 4 said this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What does it mean, and turn to Psalm 44, what does it mean to walk through the shadow of death? Now there's a verse here, Psalm 44 and verse 9. For thou hast cast us off and put us to shame. That's not the verse I wanted. And goeth forth. That's not it. Hang on. It says something like this. It talks about the shadow of death in another place. I thought it was Psalm 44. Maybe it's not. Evidently it's not. So if you got a cross reference at Psalm 23 and verse 4, see if you can find it. I don't have any cross references in this Bible. Some guess that there is some sort of a darkness that we go through when we come to the time of dying. But it is not what the Word of God teaches. If nobody's found it yet, you're not going to find it. All right, turn to 1 John. Ah, thank you. I should have highlighted it, and I didn't. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us, here it is again, with the shadow of death. I've never ever heard anybody use that particular verse, but I've heard them use Psalm 23, verse 4 before. But it says, though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death. Now, some people, when they read that, those verses, they seem to think there is some sort of darkness that we go through when it comes to the time of dying. But their Bible doesn't seem to teach that. Go to 1 John. See if I got this one right. Chapter 1. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship was with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Then there is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, and notice what it says, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So in dying, I don't think we're covered with darkness. I don't see where the Bible teaches that there is some kind of a darkness or some kind of veil of darkness that covers us. When you think of the word shadow, it implies the approaching of something or the nearness of something. And in this text, I think it's talking about the nearness of death. But you get a shadow when the sun is out, and if you're behind it and the sun beats on you or a tree, it casts a shadow. When you want to get out of the sun, you get under the shadow of a tree. And it blocks the sun. But it doesn't imply that we're going to enter into any kind of a darkness. But it does imply that death is coming. Death is somewhat of a mystery. When Curtis Hudson, was told that he had cancer, the doctor told him, he says, you're not going to get better. And if I remember right, Curtis Hudson didn't take any treatments to try to get to do anything with the cancer because he was told from the beginning, there's nothing that we can do for you. So his daughter asked him, she said, is there anything that I can do for you? Dr. Hudson said, don't tell anybody that I'm going to get well. Because if you do, you're going to lose your credibility. A preacher asked Dr. Hudson if he was afraid to die. Dr. Hudson smiled and said, I don't know. I've never done it before. You know, that is, I will say this in life, you know what we fear the most? The unknown. Because we just don't know. Now, if you knew Dr. Hudson at all, you knew that God gave him dying grace. Now, we have not reached, go back to Psalm 23. We have not reached death yet. But you know, we do know that it's out there. So the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It's a mystery for sure. We've never done it, but it's not a darkness. But death is a divider. Death divides us from the small things in this life, things that we think are so precious. But you know, after death, they're going to mean very little. The things that have no meaning. The thought of death and the prospect of death, the thought that we will leave here, helps us put things into proper perspective and place, and to establish the right priorities in our life, because death is a surety, which actually is my first point. We know this. We know that death is certain. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. That's easy to find. If Jesus does not come, and listen, I am done looking for signs. I am looking for the Savior. Amen. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. And somebody ought to read this to Bloomberg, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. I shouldn't have read the rest of that verse. I stopped Roy Regner's house today because he had a couple of snowmobile helmets he wanted to give our girls. He's the guy we buy our beef from. And he's a farmer. Buddy, he was ranting and raving on that today when I went in there. But that, you guys know what I'm talking about when Bloomberg, yeah, okay. It's just what a nut. But anyhow, I felt like calling him up. You might want to call the farmers down at Cornell University, because that's the big farmer university. And he said, if you didn't know, he said, I can teach anybody how to farm in 5 minutes. I felt like saying, call up the University of Cornell and see if they agree with you on that. But that would have been a fun thing to do. But what, he's just, anyway, we're not talking about farming tonight. We talked about that in Soul Winning a few weeks ago. We'll get back to death. Death is certain. Remember what the author of Hebrews says? Is it appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. So that is why we set our house in order. That is why we get our priorities, or what we would say our ducks in a row, because we know that death is certain. The second thing I wanted you to think about tonight is the comfort of death. God's children find comfort in the time of death. We don't find it in the things of this world. We find it in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 1 again there in that Psalm 23, and I'll read it all again. We got it memorized, I think, by now anyway. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God's children find comfort in the time of death. I did a funeral here last night. Some of you were here. And we know that the guy that passed away was a believer in Christ. Those are easy funerals to do. Actually, they're a joy to do. It's a homegoing. But when you stand behind a pulpit, or usually at a lectern at a step funeral home someplace, and have to preach a sermon for a person that you have absolutely no assurance that they're in heaven, and sometimes you absolutely know they're not in heaven, that is no fun. And I mean, that is no fun at all. But I'll tell you something, comfort does not come from what we have. Comfort does not come from what we are or who we are. It doesn't come from what we have accomplished in our lives. Not at the moment of death. At the moment of death, you don't think back about what you have or what you've done or who you are. We find comfort and only comfort in Jesus, and that's it. We find comfort only in his person of Jesus Christ. We are comforted to know him because he is with us. Now let's go back to Romans 8. We started there. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's a good question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then you find this list in the rest of that verse. shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? You see that last word in verse 35, sword? You know what that speaks of? That speaks of death. And then it goes on in verse 36. I'm going to read this again because I just love this passage. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then he goes on and says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So when he asked the question in verse 35, he talks a little bit there, but he gives a direct answer in verse 39, and it is this: nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of the Lord. This is the shepherd's psalm, this Psalm 23. The psalmist says, the valley of the shadow of death. He says, when death is coming upon me, I'm not going to fear, for thou art with me. When God is there, if he is light and in him there is no darkness at all, if God is there, then there can't be darkness there. Because in him is light. There's no darkness in him. By the way, in Hebrews chapter 13, it says, let our conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as we have. For he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you're a child of God, is God going to leave you in death? Is that going to be the one exception when he says sorry? No, he'll be with us. When we have Jesus, we have everything we need. A year or two ago, when Pensacola Christian College was here singing, and they sang a song, in Jesus, I have everything I need. I listen to that song quite often. When we walk that valley, he is with us. He doesn't forsake us in tribulation. He does not forsake us in persecution or in distress or in peril. And he does not forsake us at the moment of death. And for a child of God, death will not be, there won't be a time of darkness. It won't be a time of separation. Instead, death will be the time when we meet the Lord Jesus. And you know, we find comfort in death, because then we are in the very presence of the Lord. Now, I would like to think here this evening, because most of you know these truths. I know you've never died yet, or you wouldn't be here, okay? And you're not Lazarus either, by the way. But I know, I would like to think, rather, that you don't really fear death. I know there's an element of the unknown there, but we don't have to be afraid. Then the third thing I want to mention is this. I want to mention the conqueror of death. As the shepherd leads the sheep, the Bible says he leads them through the valley. That's what the shepherd does. They don't go into the valley to stay there. He leads them through the valley. For a sheep, a valley was a place where water could be found. A lot of times, if you pay any attention to the woods or the outdoors, when two hills or mountains come together, you know what's a lot of times at the bottom of that ravine? A little brook, a place to get water. And the Bible says he leads them through the valley. So they'd find water there. The valley was a place where the slopes going up would lead to higher ground. And along the way, you find good nourishment that could be found. But you had to go through the valley. The shepherd knew exactly where he was going. Just like Jesus knows exactly where he's leading us. He knows the journey. You know why he knows the journey? He's taken it before. Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He's walked that journey. He walked through there. He had been there. He came back. And now he was going to take the sheep where he had already been. And Jesus has already been there. He died for our sins. And he's coming back for us to take us where he's already been. He leads us through the valley. Now look at John chapter 10. There was a certain, verse 1, there was a certain man in, and of course that's the book of Acts, that's the story of Cornelius. This Bible's not cooperating with me tonight. I don't know what its problem is. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up on some of the way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. That's a precious thing right there. And he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Jesus came to earth, robed in flesh, born in a manger, lived a sinless life. Then he went to Calvary to pay the sin debt that the world owed. He bore our sins in his body. He shed his blood. He was buried in somebody else's tomb. And on the third day, he came forth from the grave, alive forevermore. And the Bible teaches us that he has the keys of death and hell. The subject of death is, the thought of death is pushed back in people's minds so they give very little thought to it. And I honestly don't think that is a good thing. I think we ought to think about it. The thought of death is motivating thought that can help us walk with God. Death is coming. I'm on the back nine. Some of you are on the back nine. Some of us might be coming around to the home stretch, whatever that is in golf. I don't know. But that's what happens. You know, people say, don't tell kids that they might go to hell without Jesus. I think that's bad advice also. We want them to understand the reality of death and hell. They don't need to dwell on it all the time, I know that, because they can find hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. But they can learn that he is a deliverer, and they can learn to trust him. There have been some people that have actually tried to sue some churches because they teach about hell. But I don't think that's the right thing to do. When we're young, we're invincible, and we make some terrible decisions in life that we don't consider death, we don't consider eternity, so we just do some really foolish things. God uses us to show us the brevity of life. When I was 22, I think, I had open heart surgery because I had a birth defect, and the older I was getting, the more it was bothering me, so I had to get it fixed. My heart rate would be 300 beats a minute. I mean, that's fast. And so, when it first started, it'd last 15 seconds. Then it'd go away, and I'd do whatever I was doing. Then as I became a little bit older as a teenager, it'd last for 3 or 4 minutes. And then 17, 10 minutes, then 18. And by the time I was 20, 21, 22, it was like hours. So I go to the hospital. I ended up at Duke University, which is why I root for Duke University, I might add. But anyway, I end up at Duke University because at that time it was the only place in the world that could fix the problem that I had wrong with my heart. The doctors there, you know, God lines everything up. I was talking to a doctor at urgent care. He said, who did your heart surgery? I said, Dr. Cox. He was right, and he stopped. He looked up at me. He said, you had Dr. Cox for a heart surgeon? I said, yeah, why? He said he was the best heart doctor in the world. I said, well, praise God. God knew that. But he's actually the one that not only did the surgery, he found out how to do all this stuff and figured out how to fix it at all. So I'm in my bed one night, and I was probably watching an NCAA basketball game because that was on at that time of year. And it was the year that Georgetown played North Carolina. But I didn't tell anybody that I was rooting for Georgetown because I was down there and we're, you know, North Carolina and Duke rules. So I didn't want them to make a mistake in the operating room on purpose. I'll tell you that right now. So anyway, the girl comes in, the nurse, and she says, do you need anything? I said, no. She says, aren't you scared? I said, no. She says, you know, you're having open heart surgery. I said, that's what they said, yeah. She says, you're not nervous at all. I said, no. Now, when you're young, you think you're invincible. It never dawned on me that I might not walk out of that hospital. That thought never crossed my mind. I don't know if it was because God had given me supernatural peace or I was just young and stupid. Maybe it was a little bit of both. But people are laughing their way right into a devil's hell. But it's no laughing matter. The lost are separated from God because of their sin, but think about the moment when a man may be separated from God for all eternity. That's what they need to think about. We need to be like the doctor who walked into the hospital every day with a smile on his face. Nurse asked him how he could do that even in the worst of illnesses, and he said, when I'm doing my examination and dealing with my patients, I'm not thinking about their illness. I'm thinking about their cure. And you know, when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we're not thinking about anything except Jesus. We must think of the cure, and the cure is the blood of the Lamb. One day we will see Jesus. Let me read you a story. Go to the 20th chapter of John's Gospel. You're here. This is a conversation that Jesus had with Thomas. We call him Doubting Thomas because he was a doubter. Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So after Jesus had risen and he appeared unto the apostles, Thomas wasn't around. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Now this time Thomas is there. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. And then he said this, Blessed are they that have not seen me, have not seen, and yet have believed. Now I haven't seen him yet, nor have you. I've not seen his hands, I've not seen his feet, but one day face to face, I will. Amen. Here on this earth, I'll never be alone. No matter the circumstances, no matter the situation, for thou art with me. He promised that he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, even as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't fear death. I know there's a mystery to it, but we don't need to fear it. Nobody looks forward to it. I don't know anybody that says, well, I just would like to die today and be over with it. I suppose there are some. I've never met one. But we shouldn't have to fear it, because God goes with us all the way through the valley of the shadow of death. Father, we thank you for your comforting hand, even at the time of our parting of this earth. But Paul's also said this, to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. And he said, to die is gain. We gain entrance into everlasting, eternal life, and we see Jesus face to face. What a time that will be. May you use this verse and this lesson to motivate us to get our priorities in order, to do those things which are most important, to put you first, to realize beyond this earth there is a higher priority, and it's not us. In Jesus' name, amen.